Tuesday afternoon, and this is the Tuesday that, well, frankly, too many people have been talking about for too long. It's amazing to me how Apple is able to sort of corner the market and make these events, these unveils, kind of worldwide events. We're going to talk to John Najarian coming up from CNBC. John right now is glued to his TV. I think he's trying to find out what's going to happen with his Apple 10. Sometimes he's a little late coming from TV. So we'll talk to John about all of that in just a minute or two. Andrew Herman will be here from DNAinfo.com. Talks about openings and closings. And we're going to kind of focus on a couple of museums, I think, including the Architectural Foundation. You know, they've been on South Michigan Avenue forever. They are on the move, and well, they'll be able to watch their boat tours from their new offices. So we'll talk to Andrew about that. Suzanne Mushin will come along to talk about women's issues in the workplace. I don't know if we're going to talk about the Monday Night Football game or not. If we do, I'll come out looking badly. So we'll see what that happens. While we're waiting for John, this is a promotion, I guess, but I want to let you know we've just unveiled the latest WGN Radio Steve Bertrand travel trip for next year. It's up at WGNradio.com. I've mentioned it a couple times on the air, but not too much in detail. We're going to go to Denmark and to Norway, Scandinavia, capitals and the fjords. And it departs on June 8th, 10 days next year. It's a really cool trip. We're going to go to Copenhagen for a couple days. Then we board a ship, take the boat overnight into Oslo. So you sleep on board the ship, you wake up, you're in Oslo, eventually a train up into the central part of the state, and then an old railway down the mountains into the fjords, and we'll be on a fast boat then from the fjords out to Bergen for a couple of days. It's all at WGNradio.com if you want to find out more information, or send me an email, steve@stevebertrandtravel.com, and I'll give you all the info too. You can call me, 847-606-6065. So there is that. If you're interested in it, kind of a cool trip. We'll be close to some glaciers and everything like that. But we're going to talk to John Najarian here in just a sec. John's ready to go. John Najarian, welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you very much, my man. We're doing a little delivering alpha with CNBC, as well as trying to cover all this storm and Apple and everything else that's going on in the markets.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a little embarrassed. I do these trips with WGN, and we just unveiled the new one today. So I kind of opened the show with a promotion for myself, but that's okay. I killed the time that way.
Fantastic.
You can come with us. You can come to Norway with me, John.
I want to do that.
It's a cool.
In fact, I'm sitting right next to Seema Modi, who covers travel and, in particular, the cruise lines for CNBC. Cruising and so forth, travel and online travel.
Yeah, this is a cool thing. We get on a boat in a fjord in the middle of the country and go all the way out east. It's or out west. It looks pretty cool. Hey, okay, that's enough. Good. Apple. I mean, does it matter at this point? We all kind of know what's coming, or we don't know what's coming. What's important from Apple's standpoint this afternoon?
They'll do a great job presenting, and people will be wowed by the facility. Because this is, you know, Steve Jobs' vision,
right?
That beautiful facility that they're doing the presentation at, not the Moscone Center or any of the other places where they've announced products in the past. This is actual Apple campus. But the big things that we're going to be finding out today, of course, are, is it really going to be a $1,000 phone? That's a big question, even though I think you and I have discussed that if you break it down in 24 payments, which Apple lets you carry at no interest, which they presently do for their phones, if you buy that from Apple rather than the carriers, I think that's not a deal breaker. But that is an expensive computer in your pocket. I think the other things are going to be, do they have wireless charging like Samsung already has? So you don't have to plug it into a wall. You just put it on a pad and it charges. Will it have rounded edges, and will the screen go around the edges? Again, these are some of the innovations Samsung has done that Apple usually follows on rather than breaks new ground with.
That's a good point. That was probably pointed out to me by you earlier, that Apple tends to, in many ways, less than innovate, they kind of follow, they replicate and have success that way. What's interesting to me,
they make it better and faster, and they make it easier to use.
That's like
what the engineers have done.
This is like an Amazon Prime Day, though. You know, Amazon has created this mega sort of economic mover for them, Apple and the whole world follows when they come with these big unveils. I mean, they can't help but benefit from all the great publicity.
Absolutely. Every network that covers finance is talking about this today. That's great for them. Although, as per usual, we won't be able to actually buy these phones probably for 2 to 3 weeks. And even then, they'll be backlogged. But it's kind of like when there's a popular movie and there's a line. That's why people want to go to that movie.
If there's a
line of people waiting for this product, that enhances the desirability, if you will, the exclusivity of the product.
All right. Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, sat down with CNBC, your network, earlier today and expressed, I suppose I would expect him to express optimism about tax cuts, but he seemed to be reaching across the aisle a little bit and indicating that the administration is willing to bargain to get a tax cut deal hopefully this year.
Yeah. And I think last week, Stephen, when they had the meeting with Ms. Pelosi and Senator Schumer
right.
With the president, that sort of signaled his willingness, of course, to get around the Freedom Caucus, which had been a buck for him within the Republican side, and perhaps pull in the necessary votes from the Democrats. And obviously, Cohen is a Democrat anyway, as is Mr. Mnuchin.
They're all Democrats.
And for that, for the most part, Trump has been most of his career as well. So to see that there's going to be some reaching across the aisle didn't surprise me. And the idea that we would get some of the repatriation of all that $3 trillion in capital overseas, as well as perhaps a right sizing of the tax rate for businesses as well as individuals,
I think
is a very positive thing.
Tell me about the retroactivity, because I know that's not unusual to make a tax cut retroactive a few months. Mnuchin seems to say that, I mean, if they don't get it done until next year, they could make it retroactive to all of 2017.
They sure could. If Congress gives them the support, they could do virtually anything they want. So it could pass if it took till next year to get that through. They could do that and then say it is retroactive for 2017. But obviously, the further into 2018 you get, the more the temptation would be to not do that retroactivity, because they'd already be counting the dollars that would be flowing into them. So I'd keep an eye on that part of it as well, Stephen.
That's John Najarian. You can watch him on CNBC. Follow him at John Najarian on Twitter. Okay, real quick, I want your tip for the day. But tell me in 10 seconds, what's up with McDonald's?
McDonald's, I like the stock overall, and I think they've done almost everything right. But today they're getting some questions about maybe the motivations behind their refranchising in China people are a little nervous about. Well, I think it'll go right back to work in the next few days, but it's been a furious run this year. It's been up, I think, in the neighborhood of 25% to 30%, the shares have this year, for a stock that's $125 billion. Other than Apple, that's a huge move.
All right, what else are you watching today?
Okay, stock, we're trading WDAY, that's Workday, WDAY.
Oh, yeah.
Trading that one today because of a lot of institutional interest in that particular stock. They, of course, provide basically finance and human resources in the cloud, and Workday is really doing a nice job. It's down today about $1.76, but we see people stepping into this $22 billion stock. So we're buying it on the dip rather than selling.
John Najarian, great to talk to you today. I appreciate your help.
Thank you, sir.
Andrew Herman from DNA Info, senior editor there, is in the studio. Welcome back, Andrew.
Hi, Steve.
All right, the openings and closings. You know, I was in Andersonville for dinner a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
And a buddy of mine brought us down there. He's like, I can't believe you've been here. I hadn't been in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
The neighborhood's changed a lot. It's not the sort of Swedish haven that it used to be.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of Boys Town North now, or almost Boys Town.
You know, the word is it's a place where lesbians live.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Girls Town.
Yes. I guess so.
But still Swedish heritage, and so the Swedish American Museum is there. They're hoping to continue the influence, and they're getting a little bigger.
Yeah, yeah. So the Swedish American Museum, it's at 5211 North Clark, and they're expanding, and they bought the building next door, which is now the Smokes on Clark. And, you know, we've been talking about this museum a lot lately because of their water tower, right? Their water tower fell down, and then, you know, they made a new water tower, and it's sort of an icon, a landmark of the neighborhood. And this has given them some impetus, I guess, to expand. So you can go in there and find out the Scandinavian influence on the city and when the Swedes moved here in the 1880s. And so that is one of the museums. And then the other one is the Chicago Architecture Foundation. They're at 224 South Michigan now. And
they've been there forever, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been there for a while. And they are moving to 111 East Wacker, which is Michigan and Wacker, also known as Illinois Center, and about a block from the studio here.
All of the really hip outfits are moving over to that area.
That's right. DNA Info is there.
WGN Radio will be there soon.
It's hopping.
And now the Chicago Architectural Center.
Right. So they have like a little gallery. They have a skyscraper gallery. It shows you skyscrapers from around the world. They have an exhibit on neighborhood architecture. And then they have this giant model of the city.
Right. The home of the skyscraper, Chicago is, right?
Yeah.
So it's only fitting.
Right.
I want to go back to Andersonville and the Swedish Museum, mm-hmm. though, because the story there reminded me. Remember we talked a few weeks ago about an Austrian bar. Do you remember that? It was a bar that was sort of known as the Austrian. It was on the northwest side. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I didn't mean to do this to you. And then the woman who was kind of raised there went back and visited
it. Oh, right.
Yes,
yes. Yeah. I do remember that story.
Yeah.
Now.
So that was one of those touchstone places you know, that you either keep or you lose as a community. And that's why I'm kind of excited for the Swedish American Museum to get bigger.
I mean, the actual percentage of Swedish people living in Andersonville is probably quite low now.
Right.
But it is part of the neighborhood's history. And if you're ever looking for glug, which is a hot wine stuff, yeah.
And, is that because lesbian women love it?
I have no idea how that all works, but I have been in those bars on occasion.
Okay, so let's finish up in Wicker Park,
mm-hmm.
where a couple of boutique hotels were built. The bed and breakfast movement is what? That's probably 20 years old now.
Yeah, so last November we were talking about the Roby, which is an 89-room hotel at 2018 West North. It's in this old Art Deco building. And at the time, the B&Bs around there were worried that they were going to get crushed by the hotel. So our reporter, Lisa Hauser, went back this week and asked the B&Bs how are things going, and now they are saying actually it's been a boom for them.
So the hotel, do you think, has brought them more business?
Yeah, so that's what they say, that it's brought more tourists into Wicker Park, and the more tourists, overnight tourists, than this Roby Hotel can handle. The Wicker Park Inn, which is a B&B, they've expanded from 5 to 9 rooms, and the owner says, look, when I was faced with this competition, it was either pull out or double down, and I doubled down.
She doubled down. I mean, interesting that she's moved into an adjacent building. That's a big investment for 5 more rooms.
Absolutely. So you wonder why hotels are always together. I guess this is giving you kind of an indication that
gas stations,
you create a mass of
mattress show.
Yes, right.
Maybe there's something to
it
that.
It attracts all the customers.
Radio stations pretty soon.
I highly recommend going to Wicker Park if you're coming to Chicago.
Andrew,
it's a great
Herman,
place.
A senior editor at DNA Info. Read more on these stories at dnainfo.com/Chicago. Thanks for coming by.
Okay.
Suzanne Muchen is in the studio. She is the co-host of The Big Payoff. You can hear that at WGNradio.com and elsewhere. It's one of my favorite podcasts. Absolutely.
We tape it with you in mind each week.
Thank you. It is one of my favorites. I don't really.
It's among the top 5 you might listen to.
Yeah, I really haven't. I don't think they're going to catch on, the whole radio thing.
Uh-huh.
How are you?
I'm great.
Okay, this is going to be one of those days where people are going to like you more than me, I think.
I think I'm ready for you to have a bad day.
Last night, Beth Mowins was the first woman to call an NFL football game.
Yeah.
And did you watch it all?
I watched a small segment of it, and I just want to tell you, it didn't cross my mind that this was
some sort woman?
Of...
That it was
a woman?
Well, no,
I knew she was female. I knew she identified as a female. It didn't cross my mind that this was such a big deal, but it definitely is. I mean, she's the first female broadcaster on, you know...
To do an NFL game.
Now, she's not new to broadcasting.
So I tuned in, I watched the first game, and I'm trying to get into football this year a little more.
Okay.
And I will.
They say the Bears are actually playing well.
Oh, the Bears are going to be great. And so I'm listening, and so they go from one game to the next.
Yep.
And it's Rex Ryan, who's the color guy, who I think is new to it, and Beth Mowins. And I didn't know it was going to be a woman or who was. I didn't really care. It was on. And it was so forced and so fake enthusiastic. Ryan even more than her.
Well,
just tuned out.
He was flat out bad. But I want to know if you tuned out because you were uncomfortable not only with her being a woman, but a woman who was bad.
I'm perfectly comfortable with her being a woman, just not on my NFL games.
Exactly.
No, that's not
true. This is where I wish we were taking callers. I really wish we were taking callers. I'm just going to push you
Let me, okay.
I think part of the reason you were uncomfortable was if it was a guy and he was just okay, you might have thought to yourself, you know what, he'll get better.
No, okay, I got ahead of myself because I was totally kidding. I didn't hear her do any of the game. And from what I hear, she did a good job and was very qualified. I'm not questioning any of it. I'm happy that she's doing it. I really am. But I will tell you that personally for me, it will be I think Kim Gordon even said this earlier. It took her a while to get used to it. It will be a hurdle for me to get over having a woman call the game. But I know that's my issue, not the world's issue.
That's on you. Will it still be a hurdle if you think she's great, knowledgeable?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure she will be great.
I think the bar is higher for her because I think she'll get tanked if she doesn't know her stuff, if she stumbles, if she doesn't seem like she's as excited about the game. Because my understanding is Rex Ryan was terrible.
I thought. But see, it's funny. We're happy to say he stunk. But it'd be harder to say that, although I think she didn't. I didn't see the game, and she got good reviews. Now, another thing, there was a kid, and this has been talked about on the air, so I don't want to make too much of it. But they put a kid, I don't know his background, a Hispanic kid, though.
Young,
as a sideline reporter. And it's like they shoehorned this guy in to make some sort of point, and he wasn't ready. And it's just, I'm down on ESPN for that.
This is the big question, though, Steve. If we are going to try to diversify the faces of the people that we see on television, are we willing to tolerate the uncomfortable period where we might have to stretch a little farther because the pipeline is not that big? It's sort of like STEM and getting women into tech. The pipeline is not that long.
Okay, good point, fair point. I feel bad for the guy because I think
I saw the clip.
He just wasn't quite, you know. And
it was awful.
I'm sure he'll be great, too.
Uncomfortable, yeah. Like watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So do you cut someone a break in the name of diversity? Sure, okay. But I also think there are plenty of people around
who might have done it. I think they get one shot with a little bit of, you know,
I'm on ESPN for this, not him.
I get it.
I hope he'll be great next week.
I think they need to come back next week and give it I think all of them need to give it another shot. Plus, look, there's chemistry. I mean, not everyone can be like you and me, Steve.
No, it took us years.
Years.
We actually have known each other. We did this radio show for 15 years before anyone thought of the radio show.
We've known each other since we were kids.
I probably won't watch next Monday because I'll be reading Hillary Clinton's book.
I'll bet you will. And I have to say, there's all sorts of negativity around this book. The fact that she wrote it, the fact that she's pointing fingers, the fact that she doesn't seem self-aware. The conversation I want to have with you is, this book, in my opinion, you can disagree, needed to have been written.
Of course.
She was, in fact, the first female candidate to ever break through the glass ceiling. She did win the popular vote, and a massive historic incident occurred. And now is being questioned as to the validity of that. She has a right to write this book.
Doyle McManus, who's an author I've interviewed a couple times, he's the L.A. He wrote an L.A. review, an L.A. Times of it, and questioned whether the book should have been written. I mean, who are you to question whether an author writes a book of failing candidate for president? I think I'm assuming they often write books. I'm sick of people saying that she's blaming other people, because every story that says she's blaming other people starts by saying she took the blame herself, but.
Absolutely.
And of course there's a but. Of course Bernie Sanders hurt her. He was running against her. That's what people who run against people do. They hurt them.
Okay, but the point she was making about Bernie Sanders is an interesting one. She was simply saying that because the policies that were so popular that he was really the champion
kind of
fantastical. Fantastical. She came across as, you know, the school marm.
Right.
That's her term.
Okay, he hurt her.
He did. She really points the finger at James Comey.
But it's okay for him to hurt her because he was running for president, too. That's what you get to do.
Correct.
She was upset with James Comey. I get that.
Who doesn't get that?
Right.
The October 28th surprise. Look, I think the big statement we need to make here is the book needed to have been written. You can say,
well, maybe not needed.
Well,
but
it should have been written. She has the right to tell her story.
Absolutely.
And let the marketplace decide. If the book sells and people read it, and my opinion is, and I always have this opinion about things that are controversial, if it starts the right conversations among society, and in great.
Right. What I loved was that after the campaign, she and Donald Trump exchanged a long embrace.
Yeah, hugged
just
for
like
a
long
time.
Just like at the U.S. Open.
This was the moment that has now gone viral. I kind of love that it's out there because these two women, Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys, knew each other, I think became friendly from the tennis circuit.
Mm-hmm.
But had this match that was really one-sided. I mean, Sloane Stephens just...
She crushed her.
Crushed her.
Made her cry.
Made her cry. But at the but look, it was a cry-worthy match. But at the moment where she took a moment to like, you sort of watched her let the wind sink in, then she went right to the net and a hug occurred that went on and on and on. And some people said it was too long, it was too much. I say, look, this is sportsmanship. Now, would two men have hugged?
Yes.
Oh, Steve.
Yes, they would.
No.
No, honestly, there's an equivalent in the PGA right now. There are
hugging?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about hugging, but there's a cadre of young men golfers, you know, Jordan Spieth and is it Dustin Thomas?
Justin Timberlake?
Dustin Thomas?
Justin Bieber?
And no, so you're mocking me. But there are a lot of these guys,
yes.
And they have a real fraternity. And there have been a couple where there were playoffs. I think it was the British Open, one against the other.
But do they demonstrate that camaraderie?
They speak about it very openly.
Do they physically demonstrate the camaraderie? I'm saying for two women to embrace like that is in the...
Nah, I'm going to say they might. Physically in a different way, there was one overtime where a bunch of them came out and followed each other. Through the sudden death.
I like that.
No, it's a really cool thing what's happening in the PGA right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I like it. I also like the fact that women's tennis has become so cool, so hot.
Did
so...
you say women's tennis?
I did because I'm speaking about these two women.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm actually speaking about these women. Thanks for the correction, though, Mr. PC Police.
My favorite part of the day
so
far.
Oh, my God. That was so perfect.
Suzanne.
But let me just finish by saying.
I will not.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Whose show is this?
It's mine.
Oh, I forgot. I'll just finish by saying they really were showing sportsmanship, and I think that should be celebrated.
Yeah, I think it's very cool, and I'm with you on that. Now watch
now
that. Next
done.
Weekend. They're up on the North Shore of the PGA.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
All right. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Great to see you again.
Great to see you.
Steve Bertrand here, the Wintrust Business Lunch. Jump right in here. Mike Galatka is the former president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association. That is a mouthful, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about that. Mike, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Good afternoon, Steve.
All right, so you're one of the guys who benefits from this video gaming in Illinois. Here we are. It was September 5 years ago that the first machines, I think, were put into the bars and different associations. And you guys are saying that it's brought in $1 billion for Illinois when it comes to tax money?
Sure has, Steve. I, along with about 6,200 other small businesses throughout the state, have participated in video gaming. And as in fiscal year 2017, video gaming provided to the state an additional $1 billion. We created $1 billion,
okay.
$300 million of which went to the state and $60 million of which went to local municipalities throughout the state.
Mike, you're saying in 2017 alone or over the 5 years you reached $1 billion?
Over the 5 years,
okay, yeah.
We have created $1 billion in taxes, but in 2017 alone, it's been $360 million in taxes.
Not too shabby. So do you run a business in addition to being the leader of this group?
Yeah, I do. I have my company is a terminal operator, which means that we go out and we buy the equipment and we service it and collect it, and we place it in liquor-pouring establishments like your local bars and restaurants.
When I recall, this law passed. It was a little more than 5 years ago, and a lot of towns sort of signed up, and then a lot of towns backed away from it. They said, well, we don't want any part of this video gaming. Did those towns end up coming around? I mean, do you see more and more villages being part of it, or is that part of the problem that the state has capped the number?
No, I think what happened originally is obviously video gaming and slot machines was kind of a scary concept. So in the beginning, there were a lot of towns that opted out of video gaming.
Right.
But what we've seen over 5 years is that everywhere where we've been in a lot of the burbs and throughout the state, there's benefits that have been that have shown itself for the local municipalities. There's obvious benefits for these small hospitality businesses. They're generating on average an additional $70,000 to $75,000 off of these machines every year.
And Mike, you want more, right? What would you like to see change so that there can be more in Illinois?
Well, we'd like to continue to, you know, point out the facts that there have been little to no noticeable social impact as a result of video gaming, that there's a lot of towns that are benefiting from it. There's obviously a lot of small businesses that are benefiting from it. And there's a lot of players who enjoy that new form of entertainment, spending their dollar there.
It's not legal in Chicago, is it?
It's not. Chicago, and there's about 35% of the state's population are in towns that are opted out.
I'm thinking if they were in Chicago, you might bring in a little bit more money, Mike. That might not be a bad idea.
I think that Chicago would be a great place. There's a lot of small hospitality businesses that would benefit. The city would obviously benefit, and the state would see hundreds of millions of dollars that they don't see right now.
All right, I tell you what, the mayor's out of the country right now. When he gets back, I'll get him on the phone. I'll call you. The three of us will have a sit-down, and we'll get it done.
Sounds good.
Mike Galatka, the former president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association. It's big money. It's helping. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good day.